get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And thanks for joining us. For those with us for the first time, what makes this show so unique is that every week, Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is a spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show is part three of The Plight of Bigfoot, our Sasquatch series. And so this is probably the last show tonight on Sasquatch. So it's been absolutely wonderful, fascinating to find out about this creature. And if you would like to participate with us with a question or a comment, it's toll-free. In the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And that's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work, on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7, and every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, buy an audio CD or Akashic reading, please go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication for those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week, live on the show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can hopefully get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back. And that is how it should be, because we wouldn't want thoughts and feelings from my mind getting in the way of the contact. Anyway, that's all I'm going to have to say, really, about the shows for this week. My part in this show is only very short, really.
Well, we use your body.
Yes. That's true.
Absolutely.
Yes, you use my body.
Mm. It's just your brain we don't use. Dear.
No, it's probably just as well, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, have a nice sleep.
Thank you very much.
Gregory was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who are going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life, hopefully. Anyway, the group wants us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet, to aid us on a road to recovery and raise the vibration of the planet in the process. The group consists of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future, and the future of the planet, and of course those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. So, as I say, if you would like to join us with some questions or comments about the Sasquatch this evening, then the phone lines are open. It's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. So, we've got plenty of questions to get through, actually, this evening anyway. So, hello, Gregory. Are you with us?
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway.
Thank you. Well, it's been a fascinating series of programs about the Sasquatch, and hopefully tonight will be equally as fascinating and intriguing. It's just, I just find it absolutely, I don't know, it's a bit like the feeling that you would get, presumably, if you were to meet them, if you were to go and sit in the jungle and watch gorillas or meet an animal, a wild animal of some description. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not like they are alien-like. It's more like they are a wild being, a wild animal.
Yes, I suppose
That's what it feels like to me, although in the past weeks you've told me that they are actually far more spiritually advanced than we are, that they are telepathic, that they shape-shift. I'll just go through a couple of things for our listeners that didn't hear the other shows. They shape-shift. They are non-aggressive, actually. They have chameleon-like qualities as well. They communicate in many different ways. They even have their own language, and they know when a human being is within 20 or 30 miles of them.
This is very
true. Okay, they can swim. What else? They don't actually eat meat unless they come across something and they are hungry, and then they probably wouldn't devour all of it. They're not greedy creatures. And they are basically a branch of the tree of life. So they are our relatives, aren't they?
Absolutely, yes. Immediate relatives. In fact, as I say, they are one of five families that human beings are a part of. Neanderthals being another, cave dwellers, other particular forms of being which are similar to do with the human tree of life.
Mm. What about the, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, Gigantopithecus black eye. It's an ape, presumably, that it was known to have lived in Asia until around 300,000 years ago.
Yes.
Is it related to that?
Gigantopithecus.
Okay,
yes.
There you go. I've got you at it now, yes.
yes, I understand. There have been many different forms of being to do with the human description or the beings which are, in effect, very similar. Don't forget, friends, that for every single being that you see upon the surface of life, of the earth plane at present, there have been thousands, literally, thousands of different individuals who were actually mutations of that, who gradually evolved and moved and changed. The whole of the evolutionary ethos of the planet of Earth is to do with mutation and change. Creation brings this about through DNA structuring. Through genetic manipulation, we see the way in which animals and plants, to a certain extent, alter over very long and extended periods of time. Within animal groups, we see and observe that these alterations may happen, that at certain points and junctures of mutation, we may see very dramatic mutational states. You can observe dramatic mutational states even within one specific family of your life now. You may look at one particular family and see that just one individual within the whole family group, which is present at any one time, looks completely differently to all the rest. And yet, there may not necessarily be any obvious genetic sign of change or imprint as to why this may occur. For example, you may actually even have a whole family of one tribe through moving ancestry, and you observe that they are all of one skin color or all of one shape of face or something like that. And then suddenly through mutation, there comes a different element of their genetic experience which enables some imprint from the distant past to come and overtake and dominate the cell structure, which apparently then is not pre-existent, but actually more cognizant of much earlier time. And so suddenly you have a switch. You have a mutation of orientation, which comes through to this different type and form. It's exactly the same, my dear friends, when you observe perhaps a human being who either has no hair whatsoever upon its body or is completely covered in hair upon its body, similar to how an ape would have become if it had lived using the same genome. So you are observing then this mutational practice as the evolution of the planet has brought about. When you observe any being, this is something that you can trace back throughout its family history, through its ancestry, perhaps over millions of years with human beings, as I say. Their ascent has been over a 5 million year period. This has been a gradual ascent to begin with, very slow in altering from one kind and form to another, from tree dwellers or cave dwellers into the kinds of reduction of hair and growth, or even the shorter mutation of different colors of skin, or eye color, or textures of skin. All of these different situations bring about the manipulation of genetic enterprise, if you'd like, and creation. It is how evolutionary pathway works. It doesn't mean to say that an earthworm that lives this very day upon your side of life is exactly the same as the earthworm that lived 5 million years ago or 10 million years ago. No, of course, they're very different, may think even very differently as well, because naturally the genetic imprint will have a difference upon its cell structure and the way those cells work together. You must take into account all variations and all aspects of that manipulation and change in order to provide the understanding of just where it is you came from.
Are there certain people on Earth that are more, shall we say, closely related to the Sasquatch? I know you mentioned about red hair the other week.
Yes.
But is there a race that is more closely related to them? A race of people?
Well, I would not say specifically, my dear friend. I am, loath to do that.
Okay.
Quite simply because the genetic variation has been so extraordinary within human beings. If you looked, for example, at one particular race of bird, you may actually observe within the whole race of bird that there are similarities and differences in its genetic tree, the way that it has moved from one color theory to another, from one exhibition of itself, its length of feathers, color of feathers, the way it has evolved throughout its habitat. All of these are just the same as the different imprints of human fate.
So we are Homo sapiens. What are they? What is a Sasquatch?
well, they too are of a similar race. The point is that Homo sapien is a name given by human beings.
Yes.
The same as the name of all other beings upon the planet of Earth has been given to them or donated by humanity. You have to understand that all beings have their own intricate name, which is how they regard themselves. Am I saying then or suggesting that all animals actually do regard themselves? Or maybe they have no actual real sense of identity of self. I am actually insisting upon this place, my friends, that all animals, all physical beings who have a conscious presence of mind and understanding have a conscious presence of self and have an identity. Yes, they actually see one another and they call one another a certain being. Sasquatch call themselves Imoen.
Imoen?
Yes. It's actually a silent H. So it is spelled H-I-M-O-E-N.
Okay.
Right. And the Imoen being is something which, for example, Imoens actually have already thought of that human beings themselves are very often called Ashi.
Okay.
And Ashi are the description that they themselves carry for human being states who are unthinking ones.
You know what springs to my mind? You know, you said that, you know, how we got the five branches of human beings initially, all those years ago, was partly to do with the intervention the help from alien races to actually try to help the human being onto a different track to make them a little more, not civilized, but how would you call it? Spiritual?
Yes, I suppose so.
Otherwise,
yes,
we would have probably...
to recognize their own identity.
We would have wiped each other out, presumably, if we hadn't had this. It was to create a more stable race, wasn't it, so that we actually continued?
It was actually in an attempt to. I wouldn't say that it necessarily brings about a wholly positive trait.
No.
Because, obviously, for all that is said and done of the human race, that we can observe that humanity has been warring for all of this time.
Mm. Okay. But, so you know, what I'm getting at is, it seems like we could do with some of the traits of the Sasquatch.
Oh, absolutely. But what I'm saying, however, is that there are traits of Sasquatch within you.
As in?
As in your deep-seated spirituality. When you actually communicate with your spirit, you are, in essence, becoming at one with the natural world and with the universe. This, in its own intricate way, is exactly how Sasquatch themselves behave in everything that they do. They are very measured. They are not manipulative of their environment, rather that they blend with it. In exactly the same way, I suppose, that you could say that many harmonious races have done in their history. And I'm not necessarily here talking about particular races such as Mayans, who, for some reason or another, have managed to adopt or claim this principle of being some sort of very high-minded race, or even Egyptians, for example, who are venerated beyond all comparison. And yet, actually, Egyptian people were quite a hateful people in many respects. And they created great carnage among other races, were fearsome warriors when they had the need. the chance to be, and would sooner cut off their neighbor's ear as look at them.
Do you know what springs to my mind when we talk about Sasquatch over these past few weeks is that they are seem to be more akin to the underworld, to the fairy world, rather than human beings.
Yes, I would say, my dear friend, that they are, in essence, very much closer to the perhaps physical embodiment of some form of beguiled, large overseer of the world.
Mm. So do they communicate with Sverry, do you think?
Yes.
They do?
Oh, yes.
So they can see each other? Is that because Sverry can make themselves invisible?
Yes.
And shapeshift and that sort of thing?
Yes, absolutely so. It's part of the inherent quality of Sverry, meaning then that they are actually also unified, not just because of the fact that they can do similar things, but because they have similar aims and objectives. I'm not saying specifically that Sverry and their objective is something which is peculiar to or in whole favor of purely in existence because of the planet. But they are, and the point is that they are also enabled to have greater awareness of the spirit world than many of such human beings upon the face of their walk of life.
Yes. They have more of a spiritual persona as well.
Yes,
like Sverry.
Yes, quite so. I would not say that they tend to be as ritualistic sometimes as Sverry can be, and that's mm-hmm. not typecasting Sverry either. I'm saying really that because there are so many different species and type and form, it means to say that they express each other in certain specific ways that would not be acclaimed or attested to in human form, quite simply because they wouldn't go that extra mile to save a particular piece of wilderness or a particular situation of environment, because they just don't see it that way.
Mm.
But that's actually because human beings have lost their way in how they actually perceive environment as being purely something to use, rather at their behest, rather than truly understanding it's a part of themselves. When you destroy your environment as a human being, you're really only destroying yourself, after all.
Mm.
And that is the way in which Sverry and Sasquatch see and have acknowledgement of this as a part of their own within a world, if you like, their own intricate system and balance of nature that they have about them, that for reasons really to do with the sufferance and the mutation currently in its existence that human beings exhibit in their life, means to say that it has actually moved so far dramatically away from their spirit inheritance of their greater ascendancy of mind, you see.
Are Sasquatch creative beings? Do they actually create?
But they don't create buildings, friend.
No.
They don't create objects particularly. They actually acknowledge the objects and the things that they see around them that grew there. And that is apparently quite enough for them. So they don't actually create a home or something like that. They might actually at times link certain plant life together.
Mm-hmm.
In order...
You're going to sneeze. Are you okay?
Excuse me. In order for them to actually be able to use a different pathway in order to afford themselves some protection, perhaps shelter for a night time.
So most of the things that they do on a daily basis is for sustenance and that sort of thing, really. But they don't actually have any hobbies or do anything when they're not hunting for food that is, I suppose creative. There's got to be another word than creative. But do you know what I mean? Something that they do to pass the time away.
Yes,
I don't know how they think. What is time
and what is the perception of time? And the point is, Ben, if you asked or talked with a being who actually, any being who lives in an indigenous way, you would find that how old they were was not materially possible to explain. You would find that the passage of what they did last week or last month is not necessarily of the order of things. Where you have to alter your judgment and your decision-making process in trying to relate to a Sasquatch or any other indigenous person to a particular place, if they are not a part of the modern human humdrum environment of creativity and being interactive within your world in a certain way and form that you have to create objects and things in order to satisfy and state your demand for those objects. That has become rather a cause célèbre situation which you have invigorated in yourself. So it becomes expected at infancy is something that you adopt all throughout your life, purely because of environmental need and pressure. I'm saying to you, friend, take that pressure away. Have a child which is maybe even born to this family, then given away to another family who never had such material possessions, wants, needs, or desires, and you would see that the environment would create a different cursor, would create a different need, desire, and understanding would replenish it to perhaps join with their spirit, or perhaps replenish it, stick a child into a monastery and see what happens. You will see a devout child perhaps, or you may not. You might see and find someone who is completely rebellious, actually reacting to their genetic imprint, perhaps certain favors, perhaps certain aspects of genetics which enable their minds to think in a certain way. Or maybe it will be to do with their spirit imprint upon their genetic flavor, which then enables them to think outside of where they are at that particular time. You have to remember then, as a physical being, that when you see and observe your behavior, perhaps your gifted spiritual ease within one particular aspect or prospect of your nature, perhaps you are gifted to sin. Doesn't mean to say that you are outside of the realms of possibility for Sasquatch to be able to sing. Actually, they sing and whistle with extreme harmony and beauty. However, they are such good mimics as well that they're able to mimic almost virtually every animal which lives in their own specific environment. And they also telepathically share their environment with others, with other Sasquatch elsewhere upon the planet, so that they are all aware of what's actually happening to their own individual environment themselves, and will then migrate or move away from specific environments which appear to have more encroached human habitation, therefore depleting their own environmental awareness of the possibility of reacting in that place. I'm not saying that Sasquatch would not be present within a physical human community.
Are they happy beings? You know,
I feel and I understand that their whole intention is becoming somewhat saddened at late.
Yes, well, that's not surprising. But, I mean, you know, as far as the personality of the creature goes, because very often you say to us, and you've said before that certain creatures, certain animals on in our world aren't, you know, are in general not, are grumpy.
Yes.
A grumpy personality.
Can be grumpy, although human perception of a grumpy animal isn't necessarily the case.
Yeah.
Pigs, for example, are not grumpy at all. They're actually extremely happy, noble creatures, beings who actually have a very good sense of communication and fun with one another, as well as their own identity and hierarchy within the tribal group.
Okay, so personality-wise, generally, sweeping generalization, are they happy, are they sad, do they worry, you know, what sort of beings are they?
Well, they do not worry, my dear friend. That is for one most definite point, because they are completely at one with their spirit. So it means to say that they do not have the damaging effects of creating negativity, because they don't create negative action or activity toward one another or to any other being. They don't kill another being, take another being's life, so therefore they don't have the negativity which surrounds that prospect and drives it, unlike lions, cheetahs, and many other beings who actually take physical life, who actually do not ordinarily think in that way. It is only when the hunger comes that they actually become angry enough or initiated in order to carry out an attack upon some other being.
Mm.
It's exactly the same way, my friend, as you would find I think we talked about this before, we would find that a group of a family of foxes would actually play in a field with sheep, and that they would play quite happily, and the sheep would play quite happily with the foxes, until suddenly one decides that it's hungry, and then it will just kill one.
I'm just trying to understand their personality. I mean, you know, do they joke with each other? Are they jokey beings?
You mean like in telling one another great stories
or
something like
that? Well, not really, but, you know, making each other... I mean, I know because
I
know you said that they're pretty much loners, so probably this doesn't equate very well because they're not going to interact in that way, possibly, but...
Well,
I'm just trying
to
understand their personality.
Yes, yes, I understand. They are not solemn. They're not solemn beings. But what they do is they tend to communicate when one of them passes. So that is a situation which usually brings, as we say, more than one Sasquatch together, because it takes at least two Sasquatch to bury one.
Mm.
So that means to say there always has to be another one present. So I understand that some people, scientists particularly, would have a problem with this because they've never actually dug one up or found one, the remains, that is.
And is that right, that no remains has ever been found?
I understand that that is the case, yes. And the reasons for this are actually because they have a histrionic of always doing the same thing, that they tend to actually bury one another in a very similar place. So that means to say it would be in a very wet environment generally. That's why you may actually find that Sasquatch will perhaps for those who live in tundra location and that kind of thing, they will actually take a fellow Sasquatch who perhaps has passed to somewhere completely different, and they will take them for miles, miles and miles,
just so that they can bury them. And it's, and as we said last week, head down, face
head down, yes,
head first into the ground,
like, yes,
yeah, like a rod going down,
yes,
yeah, okay. I don't know if we mentioned how long do they live, approximately.
Well, I understand that age does vary quite considerably. We have seen and know that they live between anything from 80 to 180 years.
Wow.
It depends entirely upon upon their nature and existence and their environment.
Mm. Well, you did say that they don't actually really get illnesses.
No, they don't. Thankfully, mercifully, they have been spared the situations of human illness. They appear not to actually succumb, which is quite strange, really, when you consider that most other primate forces and beings do succumb. That is part of the biggest problem, for example, as to how gorillas themselves and their families are enabled to, how human beings actually struggle to try to keep them intact. It's not actually because they do not multiply, but it's actually because of human diseases which inflict so heavily upon them.
So, but I think you mentioned once about the Sasquatch's teeth being the only weakness. Was that right, or am I thinking of something else?
You're really thinking of elephants, friend.
Oh, am I? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And right. In actual fact, although it is in a sense similar in that Sasquatch, they only actually will ever grow 3 rows of teeth.
Right.
And at the end of it, which is actually quite considerable if you think about it.
But I suppose if they eat berries and that sort of thing, I guess that's not such an urgent matter, is it?
No, indeed not.
If they do lose teeth or whatever.
But for example, the whole reason usually as to why an elephant passes is actually because they have no teeth left.
Mm.
And
yeah.
So they are actually not able to chew their food.
Mm.
Sasquatch, however, I understand, are actually able to continue to eat food regardless of whether they have teeth or not. And it doesn't appear to be the actual main cause of passing. It's just really a general degeneration of tissue damage,
mm.
which actually happens because of the particle reference of universal physical plane. And the way in which atoms are constantly bombarding the physical frame, which actually brings about the eventual demise of
mm.
Sasquatch.
Mm.
It can also be, incidentally, that the spirit of that particular Sasquatch just really wishes to withdraw from the physical life.
Mm.
And that too, may be a reason. In which case, of course, you may even find that occasionally some Sasquatch will dig their own place
mm-hmm.
of burial
mm.
and simply climb in it.
Really? Wow.
Yes, they do that too. That's not that they are taking their own lives. They just stop existing in physical state
mm.
and space.
How many babies would they have in their lifetime then? Because that's a long time to live. How many young would they have? Because you said last week that they don't necessarily breed, you know, every year.
Oh, no, absolutely not. As I say, you may have that one particular female may only have 2 or 3 offspring.
Oh, right.
It depends. They're not prolific in the way that other animals are. For example, elephants may have up to 15 or 18 in their lifetime, even more than that. And they actually breed quite well. Elephant tribes, for example, can actually overextend themselves with just in a matter of a few years, really.
Mm.
If they're, shall we say then, if there are a number of them to begin with, and the genetic gene pool is something which is of a very good state, you would see that perhaps a family of elephants would reach 60 very quickly.
Yes, even though the gestation time is quite long, isn't it?
Yes, quite so.
For an elephant.
Yes, but they're very consistent.
Yes, so what about Sasquatch, the gestation time with them?
Well, the gestation time is actually fairly similar to all primates. It tends to be within reason, depending upon the size of the being.
Mm.
Yes?
Mm.
So, for example, you will find that very small primates tend to have a shorter gestation period. Sasquatch, I understand, is around 11 months.
Right. Can you actually describe one for us?
A Sasquatch?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on where they're from. That's
okay.
part of the problem. And, of course, on upon which environment they happen to be living in.
Well, you pick one.
Well, so, we shall say that this is a Sasquatch who lives within a jungle form. The Illuminati form of a Sasquatch appears to be that when you look at it of physical flesh, it is something in the region of between 7 and 8 feet in height, although they have been known to be very small versions of this as well, to be only 4 feet in height. So it doesn't necessarily follow that just because they are of this one intonation, that they actually have a set height.
Mm-hmm.
It will depend upon very much where they live. Mm-hmm. The form of Sasquatch who live in Indonesia, for example, they actually have webbed fingers and toes. This enables them to swim from island to island. And also is a part of their genetic history, which has continued throughout their lifetime experience and is evident of their way and form now. They actually have very short hair, body hair. Their face is quite elongated to the way of other forms of Sasquatch, and they have a longer node, we shall say, at the back of their head, which appears to be slightly overextended to other Sasquatch who live elsewhere. We are aware that this is actually caused by a cavity which exists where, not where the physical brain has reduced, but there actually is a cavity at the back of the head which appears to be not empty as such, but that it has a form of labyrinth, an element of breathing system which allows that form of Sasquatch to actually breathe underwater.
Huh. Wow.
These particular breed of Sasquatch have much wider noses, which appear to be leveled across the face. And we understand that this nose is actually linked to this labyrinth, which appears to be at the back of the, placed at the back of the head. We observe also that this particular form of Sasquatch, as I say, they generally tend to have quite a light brown appearance, almost like tree bark at some stage. There may be an intonation that they even can appear almost like the mahogany woods or tree barks of their local indigenous place that they happen to live in. Don't forget that it's actually quite difficult to typicalize one form of Sasquatch because they will morphic their physical appearance depending upon what actual background they are standing on or what environment they are living within. A Sasquatch can actually often adorn themselves with the trappings of the place that they live as well. Most endearingly as well, they will at times wear flowers. As also they will wear leaves. And sometimes leaves can be seen to be woven in their hair. Not just the hair upon their heads, but all over their body.
What color eyes do they have generally?
This, again, depends entirely upon where they are. Indonesian Sasquatch, for example, have yellow eyes. Yet Sasquatch, who are from further north, the frozen waste and that kind of thing of the Himalayas, or even further north to that, in the tundra fields of Russia, or even Canada, you would see a Sasquatch with blue eyes. And their body hair is greatly extended, looking more like, I suppose, to the length of orangutans, although not of a similar color at all. They actually will change with seasons in their hair coloring. And they also have times when they actually hibernate as well. And they bury themselves in the snow.
Is this just typical for that area?
Yes, absolutely so. It's in exactly the same way and in accordance with polar bear and the way that they have a system of renewal, as do many other bears as well. I suppose in some respects you could say that some of their life is in a sense almost a mirror of how bears live and how they are aware of different situations of their environment, particularly with the passage of time, and whether or not they wish or choose to hibernate. They actually don't hibernate in exactly the same way as bear. They actually, what they do is, yes, they slow their heart rate, but also what they do at the same time is that they have a complete out-of-body experience, so that their physical shell is just that. It's simply left upon the Earth planet, and they have no conscious awareness of what is actually happening with or any interest in their physical state whatsoever.
Okay. What about in the spirit world? Obviously, they must have their own soul group, do they? Or are they part of our soul group?
Oh, yes. Many individuals, when they return from human destiny, when the spirit and the consciousness returns to our side of life, or rather, should I say, continues on its journey, but is rather joined with the consciousness of physical form, it will be that perhaps at times human consciousness will be met by or greeted by Sasquatch of different types.
Oh, really? So you can meet one in the spirit world?
Yes, you can't request it.
Right. Okay.
You can perhaps have that as an intonation of your life. However, it will generally be that they may share or hold an interest within you and your life, but it is not something that can be reciprocated. They are very reluctant, in fact, oftentimes, to share in their life history or anything to do with their lives with human beings. Such it has become the gulf between humanity and Sasquatch themselves. Even in their spirit identity, it is something that I suppose it's because of the fact that they are so tranquil and that they are so loving and centered within themselves, yes, but also within one another. And the whole conscious effort of beings who try to be beyond the status that physical orientation makes them be in. And they try to live their physical life much the same, I suppose, in respect of the way that monks very often depict their conscious life in their physical state. I'm not saying that they have to be beggars or anything like that, but rather that they live their lives in a fully conscious way that is always respectful and honorable to all other life.
Do they live on other worlds? Do they have other existences on other worlds?
I understand that they do, yes. And actually, it's an essence, really, of how humanity looks upon itself, isn't it, really? How humanity looks upon itself within the Earth environment. whether it is going to be that human beings will accept that they are actually a part of the universe, or always try to remain indifferent to it.
Or the architects
of it, yes, quite so. And that is always going to be a problem, in essence, of... It's not really to do with how humanity evolves, because even though you have ancient histories, it appears to be that human beings continually try to ignore the history of previous experience so as not to actually acknowledge their environmental cursor or something like that, or the way that they must behave in order to keep their world. There have been plenty of indications previously of different tribal groups and the way that they have destroyed their own environment for humanity to actually understand, yes, this could happen to you now. And it is, of course. So, however, the situation of Sasquatch had never, ever been, ever, that they had been mindful of or willful of wanting to completely strip or denude their environment. They are always, have always been consciously aware of the need to plant something in return of whatever it is that they've eaten or taken.
Okay. So are there any listening to us now, with you, listening to our program, that know that we are doing this?
I believe there are. Although not having communicated with that intention, but I am aware of the intention that they are listening.
Well, you know, the thing is, hopefully, this is, I mean, obviously, you've not told us exactly where they are, the specific places where they are, and of course, we wouldn't do that. But hopefully, this has given people a better understanding, a more sensitive understanding of them. And so, hopefully, they'll realise the intention of us doing a programme like this is for, hopefully, for the betterment of them in general, you know.
Well, yes, and not only for that, but because it's a part of your environment and their environment. You are actually interactory. The point is that human beings appear to look upon the environment just as something to be used. And for this, you could say that it brings into sharp contrast the actual life of human beings vis-a-vis the life of Sasquatch and how they regard themselves, not in that they have this spiritual endeavor and that that's all they want to be. It's just that that is their intention.
Well, they just are.
They just are that
so
way.
So we've only got a minute left now,
yes,
but it's been really fascinating. And so what would you say, what can we learn from Sasquatch?
Liasa Kwan Siko. Liasa Kwan Siko. Give all for your remembrance of me.
Okay.
We learn to be living in harmony. We learn to be accepting of one another's gifts of life. We praise those gifts of life as being the flowers of God as they become evolved in their expression and our awareness of one another.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you to the Sasquatch everywhere. You know, really, it's just, I don't know, it's just a very emotive subject, I find. Thank you.
Thank you, God bless, and may your world brighten your life through your existence, friend. God bless.
God bless. So, thank you very much for being with us this evening, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'm sure you've been just sat there riveted because it's just such a fascinating topic, and if you have another subject that you would like us to to discuss with Gregory and the White Cloud Group 1 week, do email us at enq@spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out more about us and our radio shows on www.spirit-teaching.com also. So, my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye, everyone.